Thank you all for hanging in there with me for the last presentation of the afternoon. Far too long ago, actually, I got my PhD in cotton soil fertility at Oklahoma State University, and then by a rather strange set of coincidences, I ended up being in turf grass soil fertility at Auburn University. So we've sort of come full circle. About 2 years ago, Cotton Incorporated approached me and asked me if we'd be interested in doing a little bit of work looking at hydromulches that contain cotton-based plant materials. And I said yes. So what I'm going to present today is some of the work we've done to date with these various products. This is the disclaimer that Greg Holt told me I needed to include at the beginning. So it's to say I'm going to refer to everything based on their trade names. And in no way either Auburn University or the USDA ARS is saying to buy one thing or the other. Hydromulching, just to sort of bring us all up to speed, is a method by which we apply some sort of ground plant material or cellulose or wood-based fiber to the soil. Typically, we see a lot of this in the southeast for highly erodible surfaces like roadsides. As you move into the northeast and turf-based systems, we'll see a lot of it for establishment of seeded grasses. A lot of our turf grasses in the southeast, as you all probably know, are actually vegetative. We are looking also beyond this research at things like hydro-seeding sprigs of material. So what you see there on the left is our turf maker that we bought at Auburn University. That's a $10,000 piece of equipment. It's actually a mechanical one, so there is an agitator in there that grinds things up. That's important because these cotton-based hydromulchers don't work real well in the cheaper $2,000 range, which are jet-type things that only apply the hydromulchers through the jet action, like a washer sort of thing. And then on the right there, you see, who is that? That's Joel applying the hydromulch at some of our outdoor research. Here's an example of what we see. They're paper, they're wood fiber. We tend to use the blankets on steeper slopes. As we get to shallower slopes, we'll use some of the things that are applied with the hydroseeder. Interestingly, there's very, very little research out there with any of these mulches. And in fact, the industry is ripe, as is much of turf grass, for what I will call the snake oils. So you get lots of things with interesting growth amendments added, odd fertilizer additives, and there's really very little science comparing and contrasting these sort of materials. So what we wanted to do was a series of greenhouse studies simply looking at how well these materials use to produce a stand of Bermuda grass and comparing to kind of the standard industry materials, which are either paper or cellulose or straw. So we did three trials. We did one in September of 06, one in March of 08, and another in June of 08. They were all done in the Auburn University greenhouses with ambient light. We had four reps of each treatment. We used a Marvin loamy sand. For those of you that are wonky and really like taxonomy, that's a Canhapyidult. Bermuda grass was sown. We did use the seeded common type variant, Jackpot. That's a very high seeding rate, but in the turf industry, that's very typical. If that was a pasture rate, that's about 30 times higher than typical. We either applied at 2,000 or 4,000 pounds per acre. 2,000 is what is recommended on a lower slope as slopes increase. A typical roadside embankment that you might see as you come off or come on to a freeway is going to be closer to that 4,000 pound per acre recommendation. We also had some blankets in our treatments, and we also used some straw cover. So our treatments were bare soil, another material called CocoFlex ET, there was Flex Terra. Those all have some type of wood-based fiber in them. A few of them have about 5% man-made fiber. That man-made fiber was usually some type of like a very plastic or monofilament type line, short fibers of that. The GeoSkin, the Hydra CM, and the Hydra CX2 are all cotton plant material based. And when I say cotton plant material, that means it includes some of the processing lint, perhaps some material left from processing the, so it could be upwards of some stems and some stalks, and then it also has straight straw in it as well. The paper is a hydromulch. We had a physical 75% straw cover, again a Terra Matrix, a standard wood blend mulch, and then a cocoa mat mulch blanket. So that was actually a blanket that would be unrolled across the site made from coconut fiber. We applied the hydromulch treatments at the plant up in Center, Alabama, which is who makes these cotton-based materials. You see there on the left the, let me see if I can find the ever disappearing, where is it? Aha, there we go. So here we see the, this would actually be, if you were hydromulching in the field, what you would actually have slung over your shoulder, and then you see way here in the corner the actual the hydromulch tank. So it's just been sort of separated. This is on a Gandy rig that sort of slides it across on a chain. We can calculate the rate of delivery to spray our four replicate flats at the same time. Nope, And here, over here, is what they look like in the greenhouse. Just some results to show you. Here we have the paper. This is about 6 weeks after seeding. Here is our bare soil. And then, where in my mind, I guess, there's the 80% straw, so that's just straw physically scattered across the surface. That's kind of right now, I would say, one of the industry standards. Oh, that mouse is misbehaving. Then we have the cocoa mat as we move from left to right, and then the geoskin all the way on your far right. The geoskin, again, is one of the cotton additive hydromulches. Few other pictures. On the left, the Hydra CX2, that is what we consider to be a very high-end mulch material. It is expensive. It's what people would be using on some pretty severe, highly erodible slopes. It is not the kind of material people would probably be investing in a lower slope, more just a typical installation. When I say more expensive, it's because it tends to have a little more of a polyacrylamide gel added to it. These are sort of a fixative type material. They're used a lot in erosion work, or if you've ever changed a diaper in the past 10 to 15 years, that's what in the diaper. They're full of polyacrylamide gels. Again, we have the bare soil on the other side. Now, keep in mind, one of the things we have to look at down the road is that the statistics I'll show you are all compared to the bare soil. So in some cases, bare soil looks pretty darn good because these are flats. We haven't introduced any slope into this equation, and that's the next step in the work. FlexTerra FGM is there on the left. What we saw often in the greenhouse with these cellulose-based materials, they would have some kind of a fixer or glue in them. And in the greenhouse, we did water these every day. They almost got like a shellac-type surface to them, so they sealed over. I don't know if that would happen in the field where we'd have highly variable rainfall. But what would happen, you see there in the left, virtually no plants would come through. We sacrificed a couple of plants and flats, and we'd actually pull that up. And you could see the seed had germinated. It just could not get through the sealed FlexTerra type mulch. Again, you see geoskin there on the left. That's at the higher rate at 4,000 pounds per acre. Again, that's one of the materials with the cotton added to it. And on the left, the FlexTerra at 4,000 pounds, 8 weeks after we seeded. On the right, we have the Hydra CM underneath. We sprayed one of the cotton-based materials, and then we put the cocoa mat on top of it. This would be used for a very highly erodible situation to really try to get some vegetation established. So, on the x-axis, we have weeks after seeding, from 2 to 5 weeks after seeding. How we calculated our percent establishment was through the very highly and scientific method of a dowel rod. We put 25 spots on each dowel rod. We had two. We x'd them across each flat. The number of times that the plant tissue touched one of the marks and multiply it by 2 to get percent establishment. So we have percent establishment on the y-axis. What you notice is the bare soil is my purple dots. They are sort of in the middle. So we actually had some of these treatments that performed worse than the bare soil. That is because what one of my things I'll get to is I think it's the carbon to nitrogen ratio. The materials that are very high in carbon, the paper and the FlexTerra, no supplemental fertility was added to these flats. They simply sucked up a lot of the available nitrogen as a function of that very high C to N ratio, and they simply didn't grow any grass. I also think with the paper, we may have had some aluminum toxicity going on. Have to look at that. So here we are in one of the other studies. Notice our percent ground cover is much higher. It's simply because this was a summer study. Bermuda grass is a warm season grass and it responded. But you see the Hydra CX2, that's the high-end cocoa mulch product, has close to 80% ground cover. About, well, we're how many? 55 days into the experiment. And again, you see any of the wood or cellulose-based materials, the Cocoa Flex, the FlexTerra, and the 70-30 wood blend all have very few low percent germination, not a lot of seedlings coming through. Here what we've got is how much clipping yield. So after we grew for 10 weeks, we just clipped everything that was on the flat and we took a dry weight of it. Now when you see those statistics, those are comparison to the bare soil. So for instance, the Hydra CX2 in the bare soil, I don't have any asterisks on those, and that's because the Hydra CX2 did not perform any better than the comparable bare soil. Again, these are flats on a flat surface. We haven't introduced a slope factor. The geoskin is significant at the 0.001 level of probability. So we produce significantly more plant tissue when we applied the geoskin hydromulch, which is the cotton-based material, as compared to the bare soil. You notice the FlexTerra and the paper are also highly significant, but they produced less clippings than we saw in the bare soil flats. Again, we move on. This is the second. This is the second experiment in the whole study. Our first in the summer of 2008, and we see similar responses when we have the materials to which we've added some of the cocoa fiber. The HydroCM and the HydroCX2 produced greater dry matter weight than compared to the bare soil. Everything else was equal to the bare soil. And the last run, this was our June of 2008 study. Anything that contained the cotton plant material produced a greater dry matter yield as compared to the bare soil control. So, kind of to wrap up, and I've got a couple more slides after this, anything that had the cotton fiber mulch in it, the GeoSkin, the HydroCM, or the HydroCX2 produced the best Bermuda grass growth. Anything that was cellulose or paper-based did not do particularly well, and sometimes the dry matter yield of the Bermuda grass was less than what we saw in the bare soil. The cocoa mat really did not perform particularly well until we added the hydrous mulch underneath it. The cotton-based mulch were sprayed, then we put on the blanket. What's going on here? Well, one is the water-holding capacity. Now, I don't mean to say the water-holding capacity of the mulch itself. I mean to say the water relations in the whole system, the underlying soil and the mulch sprayed on top of it. Part of it's because some of these mulches sealed over on the top, others because they held water too well and we had a wet, soggy mess. Obviously, it would be great to do some research where we just purposely confound it with water holding capacity and we try to keep everything uniform. It really adds to the difficulty level, but that I think is something that's going to have to happen. And the big issue here is nutrient supply. And here's a really good example when I had the one conclusion where I said that the cocoa mat only performed really well when you had the HydroCX2 under it. The purple lines are experiment 3, the last experiment, cocoa mat only all the way on the left, and then when you sprayed that cotton-based mulch, you got a much better yield of Bermuda grass. The same thing in experiment 2, which are the blue bars, cocoa mat only, virtually no growth. When you added the HydroCM underneath, we got significant tissue yield. What about our application rate? We sprayed at 2,000 and 4,000 pounds per acre. When we went at the higher application rate, we did get increased Bermuda grass clipping yield. But it had no effect when we sprayed at all those other materials that were cellulose or wood fiber containing. So basically, what we're really getting here is the nutrient effect. When we increase the amount in the materials that had a pretty good amount of nutrient content in the material itself, we saw a fertility effect. And here's what's going on. So you look at the GeoSkin material, it's a 1.3, 0.7, 1.9 product as compared to the 70-30 wood blend, which is kind of an industry standard. The C to N ratio on the GeoSkin is 38 to 1, and on the 70-30 wood blend is 367 to 1. So if you think back to your introductory soil science, for mineralization and nitrogen availability, you need a C to N ratio of somewhere around 10 to 20 to 1. So what we're saying is, to some degree, we're applying a little bit of a soluble-based fertilizer when you apply the GeoSkin, the HydroCM, and the HydroCX2. Now, the very next thing anyone who is in the cellulose or paper industry is going to say to me is, well, why aren't you balancing ours with fertilizer? And the answer is, that's probably the next test. But this was simply an evaluation of the mulches themselves straight out of the bag. Next thing we're going to do is start messing around with some of these C to N ratios. So, kind of what I just said. We've got to do some incubation studies to look at the nitrogen and carbon mechanisms of what's going on in these things. We have got to move them to the field. We've worked with a few of them in some really large quarry studies we've been doing at one of the local quarries, and they do behave a little differently in the field than what we see in the controlled atmosphere of the greenhouses. Polyacrylamide gels, I'm betting, are in a lot of these mulches already proprietarily. I'm having troubles getting that out of the companies. We need to look at adding the gels on our own for some erosion control, and I need to do some things besides just Bermuda grass as well. Lesbadiza and fescue are also very, very important in both the turf grass and erosion control market. And if there's any questions, I think we have some time. This is our quarry site, in fact. Isn't it lovely?
We have time for a question or two.
All right. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.